taking time to visit with Adam Holtz, who's the author of Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. And actually, Adam, a lot of our audience will be very familiar with your name as over the years. So we've heard your contributions to Plugged In, which you're currently the director of.
That's correct. You know, Plugged In is focused on the family's media discernment and review website. And we spend a lot of time helping people know, you know, what not only what movies to watch or potentially to avoid, but we review TV, music, video games, YouTube channels. And that's really the core of what we do. But we also think a lot about worldview and how the ideas and the values in entertainment and in our technology today influence us. And that's really what our book deals with.
Well, and as author of Becoming a Screen Savvy Family, I have to imagine that part of walking through that was preparing information that would equip parents and families, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, everyone, about, you know, some of the dangers that will, you know, it's a minefield getting out and dealing with media, whether it's TV, movies, video games, what have you. What would you tell people about some of those landmines?
Well, you know, there's a lot of them out there, and I think that we know that. And I think that we can take two different approaches, really. We can batten down the hatches and almost want to have what I would describe as a hermetically sealed approach to entertainment and culture, where we're determined not to let anything in at all. And I think that that approach absolutely is appropriate when our kids are younger, but as they move into their teen years, we need to begin equipping them with more of an ability to make biblical and discerning decisions on their own. And then on the other side, Steve, sometimes I think that we can approach all this stuff and it feels so overwhelming that we just throw up our hands and say, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing that we can do. And so what we want to do with Becoming a Screen Savvy Family is really equip parents and families with a sense of confidence that you can navigate those minefields. There are minefields there, but we don't have to let them, you know, paralyze us with fear, but we need to pay attention to what's happening in entertainment and in technology. And I use those phrases almost interchangeably because, let's face it, everybody has a smartphone in their hand these days. So the technology and the content that comes through it are almost one and the same. But the goal with the book is really to give parents that sense of, you know what, you got this, you can do it. And doing it means that you're engaged and you're intentional and you're in conversation with your kids so that when they leave the house, you know, at some point, whether that's 18, 19, 20, 30, 40, you know, whatever that is, that you have equipped them with the ability to navigate that culture themselves.
Yeah. And I know that the book has another subtitle, the book Becoming a Screen Savvy Family, but one subtitle could almost be Learning to Fly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that the mistake that we're sometimes tempted to make is in the face of all that stuff, you know, we stay in that sort of bunker mentality maybe too long. And again, I think that when our kids are younger, it's absolutely our responsibility to protect them. But my kids are 13, 15, and 17. So this is not an ivory tower pursuit for me. I'm right smack in the middle of it. And we've begun to give them more agency in terms of some of the decisions that they are making. But we want to be involved in that conversation that's an ongoing conversation. And that involves asking questions like, who did you identify with in that movie or TV show? What ideas do you think it emphasized? How does that line up with what we believe? Was there anything there that made you feel uncomfortable? Like learning to ask those questions. And that's just one of the things that we deal with in the book, Steve.
Now, curious, is there anything in the book that would prepare parents and children, people in general, to use media in an evangelical way where perhaps you're watching something that, you know, not everything we watch is overtly Christian.
Right.
And to watch something that's just, you know, from mainstream culture, again, whether that's a movie, a TV show, a video game, and use content from it that whether with our kids or with you know, just people we're rubbing elbows with, where we can connect them to the gospel.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the importance of story, right? And I used the word worldview a minute ago, but in our culture, we hear the word narrative all the time. And narrative is just a fancy word for story. What's the story? And it's important for us to understand when a particular story veers so far away from what we believe as Christians that it may be wisest to avoid it. But there are a lot of stories that sort of dip in and out of alignment with what we believe. And so we begin to ask those questions, you know, how does this compare to what we believe? How do we think about this from a Christian perspective? And even a story that doesn't necessarily have a Christian worldview might have points of resonance. For example, when my son was a little bit younger, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, he was in the middle of his Pokemon phase. And Pokemon is, you know, an animated, almost a cartoon-like thing that involves these small little creatures that are kind of magical, but not really. It's kind of vaguely Eastern, but not hardcore Eastern. And so we had been talking about worldview questions. And at one point, my son said, you know what, Dad? You know, Pokemon at times is kind of like Christianity because Ash, who is one of the main human characters, is really willing to sacrifice everything to protect Pikachu, who is one of the main Pokemon. And I loved that he was making those connections in the story. Yeah. And I think that we can begin to even help our kids make those connections when they're young. And as they get older, we can have more sophisticated conversations about worldview, even with stuff that may have a lot of problems.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, I'm going to share another example. You know, years ago in the radio ministry here, where we are, we used to do reviews ourselves. And one of the first ones that stood out to me is, as I was doing, you know, going to movies and reviewing them, I went to go see Disney's Enchanted with Amy Adams. And it occurred to me, you know, here's this, this princess from a cartoon world who ends up in, you know, real life New York City. And she was telling everyone she came into contact with that this isn't my home. My home is this other land.
Yeah.
And my prince is coming. And everyone looked at her like she was nuts. Yep. And I just remember sharing with the kids that were around at the time, you know, when you're telling people about Jesus and they look at you like you're crazy, remember that this character, but she had the truth, right?
Exactly.
So not to be, you know, not to be shy about grasping onto the truth and the things that we cling to, trust, and rely on as truth.
That's exactly right. And our culture is telling all kinds of stories, and some of them may have a lot of problems, but even buried within there, maybe there's a redemptive nugget, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's always a judgment call, like how much junk to wade through to get to a redemptive nugget. And different families and different individuals are going to answer that question differently. But we don't always have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, if I can use that cliche. You know, there may be something there where there's a connection point. And especially, you know, if our kids are older in their teenage years, my son's about to go to college. I want him to be able to have conversations with people who believe something differently than he does, because he's going to encounter those ideas when he gets out there anyway. So when our kids are in their teen years, that's the time to practice those conversations. And really, I think to increasingly be giving them freedom to make their own decisions, even if we don't always agree with them completely.
Yeah, and Adam, as time is short, I want to do this if we can.
Yeah,
throw it back to you, and we've only barely touched the surface of what's available in this Becoming a Screen Savvy Family resource, the book you authored. But you know, quick on points, other points that'll be found in the book, and resources available from Focus on the Family, including Plugged In.
Yeah, you know, I think our overarching philosophical perspective is engagement, intentionality, and conversation. The goal here is not perfection. You know, you're not going to get it perfect as a parent. Your kids are probably going to see something at some point that you wish they hadn't. The goal is not to be just in control to make sure that never happens, but to be talking about it and building relationship with them. And we talk about that a lot in the book. You can find that at focusonthefamily.com. And if you click on the store icon, you'll find that book. It's Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. And actually, I was just one of the contributors. I wrote a number of chapters, but our entire Plugged In team has contributed to it. And if you like this conversation, you can find more of these sorts of things at PluggedIn.com, and we're a ministry of focus on the family.
All right. Well, Adam, an open invite. Always happy to hit these conversations with you. They're so applicable. We appreciate all that you do in that department and focus on the family in general. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right. And stick around. There's more to come. You're listening to ABQ Connect.